O God, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. I saw a light from heaven. So begins Paul talking about his incredible conversion experience on the Damascus Road, a story that has become the epitome, the pinnacle of conversion. To be honest, I struggled with today's passages. Part of my reluctance with these texts is because I grew up in a church that highly valued conversion, especially a big flashing moment like the most famous one we hear about today. But personally, I've never had a Damascus Road experience. For a long time, not only was this a source of shame for me, but it was also made me incredibly anxious. Was I saved? Did I really know God if I didn't have a conversion like Paul's? But reading and studying for today's sermon actually helped me come to understand new things about conversion in Scripture, truths that I think are still important for us today, for each of us and for our church. Even as our world becomes more secular and less religious, there's still widespread longing for conversion everywhere. We give at least $10 billion to the self-help industry each year, hoping that the next new strategy, technique, or system will turn our work, home, social, or emotional life around. I constantly come across articles that promise one easy tip, trick, or hack that will change my life. And while you could simply blame this on a generation that wants an instant fix, I see these similar desires at play throughout history. I think the truth is something much deeper. Within all of us is a deep desire for change, a longing for a life that is good, an ache for meaning. We know that there's something broken within us, and while different people have different parts of our lives where this ache is the strongest, we all long for something to make our lives better, and we reach out in hope when it's promised. These desires are not new, and they're not wrong. We are broken, and we were made for something better. Deep within us, we know we were made to be whole and to live the abundant life for which we were created. The good news of Jesus Christ is that God is restoring us to the abundant life of eternal fellowship, that everything that is broken in us and between us is being healed, and that the whole world is being made new. And that good news, that gospel, is far larger than anything that can be held in one moment of any life. Too often in our culture, Christianity too has become the quick fix that offers a change for one's whole life that will happen in just a moment. But that's simply not true, is it? To limit Christianity to one person's isolated conversion loses the incredible grandiosity of all that God is doing in our world. What God is doing in us and among us cannot be limited to any moment. Even if we take the moment that Jesus died, or the moment he rose again, that cannot be separated from the moment that he was born, the moment that God became a human to be with us. And that can't be separated from the love of God, which overflowed so much that it created us so that that love could be shared. The love which could not imagine leaving us in our brokenness, but has been at work throughout history, working to restore our world from the very moment that we needed it. Moments are not everything, but that's not to say that moments are never important. Perhaps you have had significant moments in your life when you realized God was present in a new way, when something finally made sense, when you came to that peace that passes understanding, when something happened that was greater than you could imagine. I do believe God works in our lives and that there are often moments when we are especially aware, moments given to help us along this journey. But we must never forget that it's a journey. The story is far larger than us, and these moments are never given for our own self-absorption or pleasure. God's work among us is always continuing, always reaching, always moving to spread this incredible love to every corner of our world. Throughout Scripture, conversion is never an end in itself, never the point, so to speak. Today we read of Paul recounting his conversion and later in Acts. Jesus says to him, "I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you to serve and testify to the things which you have seen in me." Conversion is always for a purpose, for a mission. God is working in our lives and throughout the world. The abundant life we are promised, that we are made for, is to be part of that work. Never to revel just in what we have found, but to be part of sharing it with the world, to be part of making the world new. We see this not just in Paul's conversion, but in others as well. Actually, when we read of Paul's conversion for the first time in Acts 9, it's the second of three conversions in a row. And together they tell us a lot about these moments in life. First, the apostle Philip receives a vision in which he is told to go to the Ethiopian eunuch who is traveling along and struggling to understand the prophecies about Jesus. Philip heeds the vision and he goes and tells the man about Christ and baptizes him the first time they see water. Next, we're told about Paul's experience, which he recounts in today's passage. But there's an important part he leaves out in this account. Not only did Jesus appear to Paul that day, but he also appeared to a disciple named Ananias in Damascus. Jesus told Ananias to go and find Paul and to pray for his sight to return. Ananias did so and introduced Paul to the disciples in Damascus, connecting him to the church that he would serve for the rest of his life. And then the third conversion is of a Gentile named Cornelius. He receives a vision telling him to go find the disciple Peter, who simultaneously has a vision. Three times Peter sees all the food that he as a Jew believed was unclean, and a voice telling him, "Kill and eat." When he refuses, he's told not to call anything unclean that God has made. Afterwards, the men sent by Cornelius arrive, and Peter goes with them. Each time a disciple, a member of the church, also has a vision. And each time they are changed as much as the person who we typically think about being converted. Philip talks to and baptizes a man who he previously would have considered mutilated and therefore unfit for the kingdom of God. Ananias expresses his fear of going to Saul, this man who was trying to kill disciples, but he goes anyway and learns that no one, not even the enemies of the church, are outside the transforming impact of God's love. And in Peter, perhaps we see best that this conversion was not just for Cornelius. The Gentile does come to know Jesus along with his household, but Peter came to see the world in a whole new way. And he begins a mission of reaching out beyond the Jewish community, advocating the church for the acceptance of those who they did not realize were part of God's work in our world, those who include most of us today. In each case, we see that conversion is never the solitary experience of the person who becomes a follower of Jesus. Each time God appears to a disciple as well, and each time the church is transformed and changed by the realization of God that God is at work in their world, an awareness that the work of God reached to people and places they could never have imagined. So in this way, Paul's conversion is a quintessential story for us. He represents God's love reaching even to those who sought to hurt the innocent. And he represents someone who goes on to spread the good news farther than any of the early disciples could have ever imagined, to the ends of the known world. Paul's own words about his life of faith also tell us something important about his conversion. He does occasionally refer to it in his letters, but it is never seen as a standalone experience, a moment that changed his whole life. He never rejects his Jewish faith, but he simply sees this as a transformation of it, a new understanding of the way God works in our world. And most importantly, he sees it as an important step on a journey. Over and over throughout his letters, he speaks of a life of faith as an ongoing work of transformation. In Romans 12, he says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds." Literally, that is, you be being transformed. He commands us to always be in the process of transformation. And in Philippians 3, we see maybe the most personal story. Not that I've already obtained this, or that I've already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Even for Paul, after an incredible Damascus Road experience, a life of faith was one of continually being transformed, continually converted into one whose mind, heart, and soul were given completely to the work of God in our world. Today, as we gather for our annual meeting and celebrate our patronal saint, I believe that the conversion of St. Paul has plenty for us to consider. Like Paul, it's important to remember where we have come from and to reflect and share the important moments in our lives and in our life as a church. Often those moments tell us about what we are called to do, the way we are called to be part of God's mission in our world, and it's important for us to reflect deeply on that calling. And like Paul, but also like Philip and Ananias and Peter, are we open to being continually converted? Are we still being transformed? Sometimes God may speak to us in a vision, but God also speaks to us as we continually seek and discern God's direction through prayer and study and service. Throughout the weeks of Lent, together we will focus on developing a rule of life, each of us determining the best way to intentionally seek God in all areas of our lives. Because as we move forward, we must be ready to be transformed continually. And most importantly, as we look forward, like Ananias and Philip and Peter, are we really willing to go to the people we never expected God would send us to? Who are those people for us, for our community? Are we willing to be like the early church who accepted into their fold those they never could have imagined God embracing? And we must remember that when we do this, we will not be left the same either. We will be transformed by them. Are we ready for that? Neither their conversion nor ours ever happens alone. We can only be transformed, converted, made new together. Only as we follow God's call to know and love those we least expect will we see God working in our world in ways we never could have imagined. In them we are called to seek and serve Christ, and so in them we come to know Him more fully, to see Him more clearly, to love Him more deeply. Together, for them and for us, through celebrating each other's joys and carrying each other's burdens, this life, this faith is made into a changed life, not just a dazzling moment. And together in that life, with St. Paul and all the saints, we are healed of all our brokenness. Together, we are transformed into the likeness of Christ. Together, we receive the abundant life for which we were created. Together we embrace by the love of God that was true before the world began, the love that pours through every moment that has brought us closer to God and that was true every moment we could not feel it, the love that keeps working and reaching to every corner of our hearts, to every part of our world, to every stretch of time that ever has been and ever will be. Amen.